James chapter 1 and verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. These verses teach us that the way we listen to others reflects how we listen to God. They teach us that the way we listen to God's word is related to and connected with the way we listen to human words. They tell us that if we are good at listening to God's words, we will be good at listening to the words of our fellow men and women. And they tell us that if we are poor at listening to people, we will be poor at listening to God. Now, this is a teaching that is consistent with the rest of Scripture, not just this one passage. The book of Proverbs, of course, has much to say about the relationship between the fear of God and practical conduct in the world. For example, in Proverbs 10:19, in the multitude of words there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Again in Proverbs 13, verse 3, he that keepeth his mouth keepeth his life, but he that openeth wide his lips shall have destruction. Again in Proverbs 17:27, he that hath knowledge spareth his words. Again in Ecclesiastes, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. So these Old Testament texts show us that it is the consistent teaching of the Bible that the way we listen and speak to God reflects and is connected with the way we listen and speak to others. Here in this context of chapter 1 in James, the words we're looking at are framed by references to God's word. For example, in verse 18, we read, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. There's God's word. And then again, in verse 21, at the end we read, receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And again in the next verse, be ye doers of the word. So we have a framework here. God's word at the beginning, God's word at the end, and in between this frame we have these words, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And there's such a close connection and relationship between listening to God's word and listening to human words, that it's difficult in a way to separate them. In these words, "Let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath," these words could be equally applied to how we listen to God's word. And as we look at the words today, we'll be looking at how they relate to listening to human words. But it would be a good exercise for you, perhaps, to think of how the points also apply in listening to God's word. What James is saying here is, God's word is like a seed. Verse 18, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth." It speaks really of a seed being implanted and bringing forth a fruit. And in verse 21, the engrafted word, again it's an agricultural picture that's used. And so he's saying here, the word of God is a seed, but it's planted in a soil. And the soil has to be cleaned if it's going to receive the word aright. And if the grafting of the soul to the word of God is going to be successful. And what pollutes the soil, what makes it difficult for the soil to receive God's word, is detailed for us in verses 19 to 21. He says, if we are going to receive the word of truth, if we are going to be our first fruits of God's creatures, we need to clean the soil. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 21, "Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness." He's talking here of a weeding and a cleansing of the soil of our lives. He's saying there are certain practical things we can do that can hinder the receiving of God's word, or that can help it and advance it. And so we'd like to look this morning particularly at verse 19. "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." We would like to focus especially on this first phrase, being swift to hear, then somewhat on slow to speak, and then a little on slow to wrath. First of all, being swift to hear. I'm sure many of us have felt it's hard to find a good listener. They are rare in the world. We are adept at the opposites here. We are good at sprinting to speak. We are poor at sprinting to hear. We are at the end of the race in terms of speaking. We are still in the blocks regarding listening. How can we improve this? How can we clean our soil? How can we make ourselves accelerate in our listening ability and so enhance our reception of God's word? I'd like to give you 7 points that will enable better listening, that will make us swifter to hear, that will accelerate us in this great gift. First of all, we need determined listening. You can apply that regarding listening to God's word. If we come to God's house half-heartedly, in a lackadaisical manner, not bothered whether we hear or not, then of course we are not going to profit. If we come resolute, determined, having made a conscious effort to listen to the Word of God, then of course we will hear much better. And this is so true in human relationships too. If we have a determination, if we consciously, deliberately, and determinedly resolve to be better listeners. And it's difficult. I don't know what the figures are today. Maybe it's different, but some figures were published a while ago that explain the different proportions allocated to different skills in school. 40% was allocated to reading. 35% was allocated to writing. And 25% was allocated to talking. And next to nothing specifically tailored to training people to listen. So we're fighting against our natures. We're fighting against perhaps our education, and therefore it makes it doubly difficult, and therefore requires double determination. Some people are good at running fast, other people not so good, and if they're to keep up, they have to put far more effort into it, be much more conscious of the need to exercise. And this is what James is saying here. We need this disciplined, determined attitude of the athlete in coming to listen to people. Let us enter these conversations with our fellow men and women willing to listen. Willing ourselves to listen. Determined to listen. We often say, oh, I need someone to speak to. But how often do we say, someone needs me to listen to them? Oh, how many there are in the world that need a listening ear. And they may come to us, and all they get is a talking tongue. And they can't get a word in. Determined listening. Secondly, we need to be swift at quiet listening. When we enter conversations, let us not be agitating, always to get in. I'm sure we've had these conversations. You're almost afraid to take a breath, because you know that if you do, your train of thought and speech will be cut off. And the other person will come in and your own interests and concerns are left by the wayside. It's so hard for us to discipline ourselves to listen and keep listening quietly, silently, and allow the person to speak without feeling that we're ready to jump in at any second and make our own contribution. Quiet listening is so rare. And then thirdly, we need unselfish listening. This also applies in connection with the Word of God. We're not going to hear the Word of God well if we're coming to listen selfishly. If we're only thinking about what I can get for myself. If we come with a much wider, larger heart, desiring that all with us may profit, we will hear much better ourselves. And so it is when we're speaking to people. Let us be unselfish. Again, we've had conversations, no doubt all of us, where everything you say is simply used as a springboard for the other person to come in with something better, more important, more interesting to themselves. And it goes from us to them and us to them. And there's very little listening. It's more like a competition. Who has the better story? Who has the greater pain? Who has done more? And it becomes a very self-centered conversation. We speak, and all we detect is the other person continually turning the conversation back to themselves. Very selfish listening. And also, unselfish listening means being prepared to receive criticisms. Again, that's true of listening to the Word of God. We want to come and we want to have comfort. And we want to have encouragement. But maybe what we need is a rebuke or a correction or an instruction that crosses our wills. And we don't find this so easy to listen to. We don't find the rebuke and the correction so swiftly entering our ears. The comforts, the encouragements sprint in. But when our sins face us, when our conduct faces us, when our ugly human nature confronts us, how slow is our listening then? Unselfish listening. Fourthly, we need investigative listening. By that I mean a listening that asks questions. This is applied to the Word of God as well. When we listen to the Word of God, it's not just a passive exercise. It should provoke questions, inquiries, seeking, areas to pursue study in and research in. This greatly enhances our reception of the Word of God, an inquiring, seeking, questioning spirit. Not in a cynical way, but in a positive way. And so it is in human relations. Maybe you've had conversations with people and you've walked away and you've realised that you've just asked the person maybe 50 questions about themselves and you've not been asked one in return. It's a rare skill. And it's one to be identified, cultivated, and sought. When somebody asks us questions in a conversation, what does it indicate? It indicates, firstly, that they've been listening to what we've been saying. It indicates that they are interested in what more we have to say. And so questions greatly enhance the art of conversation and the skill of listening. Then fifthly, our listening should be demonstrative listening. We should show that we are listening. And this is true when listening to the Word of God. Because we listen not only with our ears, we listen with our eyes. We listen with our expressions. We listen with our whole bodies. Studies have been done and shown that in communication, only 7% of communication is the actual words. 37% is the voice and the tone. And all the rest, 55%, is non-verbal communication, body language, in other words. We can be speaking to somebody and their ears might be pointing towards us, but we know they are not listening. The expression says it. The body language says it. And so when we are listening, show that you are listening. With your body language, facing the person, inclining yourself towards them, showing them you're interested and concerned, by expression, by empathy, by appropriate responses, by smiles. All these things communicate, I am listening and I am interested. Then let our listening be total listening. We listen, yes, to a person's words, but as we've seen, words are only a small part of the listening process. We have to listen to the whole person. Somebody can be saying something with their mouths, and their whole appearance and demeanour and posture totally contradict it. This is a skill that people like doctors greatly develop. It becomes an instinct. They can see somebody walk in a door in their surgery and immediately, instinctively, without the person saying anything, doctors, nurses can detect what is really wrong. Whatever the person says, another question is asked, and suddenly the whole reality pours out. We see somebody walking along the street. You can tell, are they proud? Are they humble? Are they happy? Are they sad? Are they carefree? Are they burdened? And so in listening to people, may we have a total listening to all that is being said, spoken and unspoken. And also, seventhly, let us have appreciative listening. Let us communicate to the people that we're talking to. We cherish their conversation. We enjoy their conversation. We value their company. This is the soil cleaning process. We might think this is terribly unspiritual. It's God's word. We might think this is not very heavenly. This is God's word. We might think, surely we simply pray and read the Bible. That's not what God's word says. It says, if you are not swift to hear, then it doesn't matter how much you pray, and it doesn't matter how much you read, and it doesn't matter how much you know. You won't be hearing God's word. The soil is polluted. It's overgrown with weeds. And it needs cleansing and weeding out. And here James tells us, one of the best tools is to develop a listening ear. Secondly, here we have being slow to speak. Slow to speak. Again, a great rarity, isn't it? This is something most of us are very fast at. We are very adept at sprinting to speak. We are not slow of our mark. Again, we'd like to consider seven helps to slowing our speech. And the first is, stop speaking. Stop speaking. It sounds so simple. Is it not the hardest thing to do? You cannot hear somebody talk unless you stop talking. You cannot hear God speak until you stop talking. It's especially true in prayer, this, isn't it? We can go to pray and pour out words. We walk away. We wonder, did one word get through? But when we slow our prayers down, when we slow our words down, we allow time and space, and quiet to hear, to be influenced by God, then we begin to get access to the throne of grace. Then prayer becomes enjoyable. And here is one of the great keys in human relations too. Stop speaking. Stop ourselves. Secondly, wait. What this is saying is, when we hear something, let's hear it quickly, and let's wait, let's delay, let's defer until we respond. Let more than a split second pass before we have words in return. Let there be a delay. Let us try to rid ourselves of the instinct, the reflexive response, and how many we've had of them, and how they have ruined us, and how many relationships we have ruined with them. We know the doctors take their little hammer to test the reflexes of the joints, and some are slow, some are fast. But if the hammer was to be taken to the reflex of speech, all of us surely would be almost off the scale. And here James is saying we have to develop the instinct to wait, to postpone, to defer, to delay, even a second or two or five or ten or longer. Slow to speak. Then thirdly, think. How many times we've spoken without thinking? Usually because we've spoken without waiting. Try and think about what was said, yes, but also who said it, why it was said, where it was said, how it was said. It's easy to hear something one way and jump to a conclusion and be utterly and totally wrong. To hear something from somebody and read into it something completely different. To hear something, we might say to somebody else, well, do you know what such and such said to me? And that person might say, oh yes. But do you know what's going on in that person's life? Do you know the stresses and strains they're under? Think. Think of what's behind. Think of the background. Think of the burdens. Think of what's provoked. So often we can take out all our cares and burdens on a total innocent. And if we are the victim of it, let us think that through and pity and have compassion and have patience. And if we're a victim, can we help? Can we sympathise? Can we empathise rather than retaliate? Rather than kick back? Stop. Wait. Think. Listen. I thought you said listen was in the previous point. No, there's a place for listening again and again and again. When we hear something, yes, we listen to the person, but let's listen to others too. When we hear the word of God preached, we hear something maybe that we don't agree with, let's not instinctively react against it and retaliate. Let's think, let's listen to others' views. When we hear something again, let's listen to the other side of the story. There's usually another side. Sometimes we might hear something about somebody that they've said. It might be completely untrue. It might be only half of what they said. It might have been communicated accurately in terms of words, but not in tone and not in context. And yet how quick we are to respond. Oh, be slow to speak. Listen more widely. Gather all the evidence before coming to a conclusion that we may regret. Stop, wait, think, listen, pray. Pray. Prayer should salt all our conversations. Prayer should be part of the listening process and the speaking process. Praying that we will pick up what the person is saying, verbally and non-verbally. Praying that what we say will be received aright in word and tone. Here in James's epistle, he says at the beginning, "If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." And this at the beginning of a book that has got so much to say about the tongue. Oh, if only we'd prayed. If only we'd prayerfully gone through what we might say. The consequences of it. How it might be received. Pray. You'll notice we're at point five in being slow to speak, and we haven't even got to speaking. Stop, wait, think, listen, pray. That's all part of the slowing down process. And some of us have got so much momentum in our speaking that it's such an effort to slow down and stop. And then speak. Slow to speak with the right words, the right timing, the right tone, the right circumstances, the right motive, the right aim. Slow to speak. And then finally, measure. Review your conversations. Measure them. Compare and contrast how much you've spoken and how much you've listened. Compare and contrast how much you've spoken about yourself and how much you've spoken about the other person. And what a rebuke it often is to us to review our conversations. How much we speak. How much we speak about ourselves. How little we listen. How little we listen to and speak to others about themselves. Swift to hear. Slow to speak. Thirdly and very briefly here, slow to wrath. And it's all a logical chain. If we are swift to hear, we will be slow to wrath. We will be slow to speak. If we're swift to hear and slow to speak, we will be slow to wrath. It's the natural consequence. And it's linked here in verse 20, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." This is true in listening to God's word. When we hear a word that we don't like, let us check ourselves, let us be swift to hear, slow to speak, and how much wrath would be avoided. How much less anger there would be in the world if we practice this in relation to God's word and in relation to the words that we speak and hear of others. If you are slow to hear and swift to speak, you are going to be a very angry person. That's what this teaches. Swift to speak usually means swift to anger. And maybe you can review people you know who are angry people. And it's usually the result of somebody being swift to speak, slow to hear. And if you're an angry person, what does that mean? It means you will not hear the word of God. Your soil will be polluted, overgrown. The word of God will create no fruit. The word of God will not graft into your soul. It will not take a deep root. If you're an angry person, you will not hear the word of God. And you will hinder the work of God in your own soul and in the world. That's what this says. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. If we are slow to hear and swift to speak and swift to wrath, this anger will greatly hinder the work of God's righteousness in our souls and in the world we live in. We are doing ourselves and the cause of Christ no good at all if we are the exact opposite of this. Where does this all take us? Well, surely it takes us to, first of all, the pattern of Jesus Christ. When we read of him, what do we find? We find one who was swift to hear, who was slow to speak, who was slow to wrath, and so affected the righteousness of God in the world and for his people. What a pattern he is to follow, to imitate. How many times he listened, he inclined his ear. He who had so much to say. He, in a sense, who had no need to listen. And yet, seeking out souls to listen to, asking them questions, determined to listen, questioning, unselfish, investigating, demonstrating, total listening, appreciative listening. He is our pattern. He is our pattern in being slow to speak. He in whose lips was store of grace infused, yet he too learned without error how to be slow to speak, stopping, waiting, thinking, listening, praying, speaking, measuring. What a pattern. But we also go to Christ for his pardon. Because when we compare ourselves with this mirror, what do we see? We see ugliness. We see the reverse of these practical injunctions. We see failure written over our faces. We see how much damage we have done. We see how much good we could have done and didn't do. And so we go to him for his pardon, that he would forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We go to him for his pattern, for his pardon, and for his power. He can give us his spirit, his indwelling spirit, which will give us the power to listen and the power to speak and the power not to fall into this kind of anger. He can give us of His own precious, holy, sanctifying Spirit. This brings us then to Christ for everything. Pattern, pardon, and power. And it's interesting, if we go to any of the great leaders, you read the biographies of leaders. People often think of leaders, oh, they're great. Great oratory, great speeches. Men, women who were renowned for their ability to command language, move masses. But you read their biographies, you'll find that yes, there are often great orations, but never made without vast, wide listening and consultation. Think of William Wilberforce in particular. Most of the biographies of Wilberforce emphasized this thing. He was the evangelical Christian politician who led the campaign to abolish slavery and reform the manners of our country. And what comes across loud and clear is this phrase. He was a conversationalist, reckoned to be one of the greatest conversationalists in the country. And that didn't mean he just spoke all the time. A conversation is two-way. You read his book, you read biographies, he gathered people around him, in his sitting room, round his table, every meal almost, there were people there. He was listening. Yes, there were great speeches in Parliament, but only after he had done great, hard graft in committees, consultations, reports. Behind these great speeches were these conversations, these exercises in listening, before he was able to lead with such success. He knew the wrath of man would not affect the righteousness of God. He won people by listening. How many souls might we win if in this world we become known as good listeners? They are rare, but when found, they are sought out and they are listened to. May God bless His word. Let us pray. Most holy God, Thy word strips us bare. It's so down to earth. It deals with the nitty-gritty of life. The everyday, the common, the normal, the area, the arena in which our faith is worked out. Oh, help us then to set forth an example of Christ in these so difficult areas. We would pray for Thy pardon, Thy cleansing anew, and that Thou wouldst enable us to seek the wisdom and the power that is available to transform us, both in the hearing of our fellow men and women, and so in the hearing of Thy word. Clean our soil, that Thy word may be well planted. In Jesus' name. Amen.